Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard it quoted to you before at some point in your life, maybe when you've been overly stressed about work or relationship. It may have been when you have been too engrossed with money, how much or how little you might make in the future. Perhaps it's been when you or a loved one has been ill, perhaps even close to death. Out the verses come, originally spoken by our Lord Jesus himself, words spoken by friends, by loved ones, meant to calm our fears and refocus our trust. Perhaps they may even be the most modernly applied and often used words from the Scriptures. Do not be anxious about anything, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When Jesus first spoke these words, he was well into what is known as his Sermon on the Mount. This body of teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, is one of the most beloved and most studied bodies of wisdom anywhere in the world. Countless pages have been written and printed throughout the centuries interpreting these gems of Jesus. He began this great sermon with the Beatitudes, very well-known phrases as well, gospel-centered statements that revealed the entry point for any sinner into Christ's kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Through those words, having brought sinners into his kingdom, Jesus then proceeds on to the rest of his sermon to teach his followers what that looks like to be his follower. This is not unlike the experience of the Israelites in the book of Exodus. For God had first redeemed for himself a people and made them into his own chosen ones through the blood of an innocent lamb. With that identity then firmly established by God's action, he brought them then to Sinai, the great mount, where the Torah, all of God's instruction for his people, was given as to what it looks like to be God's people. These words from Matthew chapter 6 reveal to Jesus' followers just how they are to be different from the rest of the world. And so what does it look like to be a follower of Christ in this world and not of this world? Jesus says, it looks like this: letting go of any anger that you as a Christian may have in your heart for another. Abstaining from sin, not only in action and in word, but in thought as well. Remaining committed to your marriage, no matter what. Speaking plainly and truthfully at all times. Turning the other cheek when your foe attacks you. Loving your enemies and praying for those who attack your body and your name. To be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. To give to the poor and to those who are in need. To pray with forgiveness at the very core of each and every petition you offer. To serve God alone and nothing else. Different from the world, indeed. From there, Jesus breaches the subject of anxiety. What Jesus here, though, is not talking about is the mental illness that plagues many Americans today. He is not endorsing either any type of lazy behavioral attitude we might have. Going with the translation from the King James Version of the Bible, a very literal translation, the translation of the Greek word here in this text is give no thought to. You see, when you give too much thought to any one subject, it might be causing you stress, then concern, anxiety, and worry are sure to follow. You give it an inch, it will take the whole mile. Of course, the Lord Jesus does not want his followers to fall into that trap. But it's going to happen. Just like fallen and sinful human beings are going to go off the rails in each of the areas mentioned earlier. Hatred, lusting, divorce, lying, hoarding, retaliation. And yet the follower of Christ is never to regard these things highly or at all, these ways of the world. Call them instead what they are, sins and vices. Avoid them. When you fail to do so, repent of them. In these verses, Jesus is not instructing those who today have serious mental challenges that result in panic attacks. There are some mental struggles that exist in our world today that an improper chemical imbalance in the brain causes, making it many times more difficult for the suffering person to handle stressful situations normally. And so Jesus is not saying to those who suffer such a way that a cure is simple, you simply have to think more happy thoughts. But rather, in general, Jesus is teaching his followers here in this part of the Sermon on the Mount how their outlook on their lives is to be different. The Lord of all creation, all of creation, the Lord himself has promised to care for his people. It's as the Catechism teaches, he daily and richly provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. St. Paul learned that secret as he was able to remain content in any and every situation, having learned that great secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And from today's Old Testament reading, we see just how powerful God's care can be. As he provided for the widow at Zarephath, even when common sense and logic, the realities of this world around deemed her situation hopeless, the Lord still provided and cared for the widow and her son. Such a sentiment, such an idea is truly comforting for all of those upon whom rotten luck has fallen. God can and does still take care of you. Some, however, have taken this sentiment the other direction, the wrong way, thinking that God will care for them no matter what, even despite their own laziness. But God never condones such sloth-like behavior. Instead, clear scriptures teach that if a man expects to eat, then he must work. While the birds of the air indeed do not store up food for their future, they do still have to go out each day to find what the Lord has provided. And even then, some still get sick and die. Eventually, they all will. And the lilies of the field eventually wither and die as well. And so here Jesus does not want his followers to fail to fulfill the vocations that God has given to them. Rather, do them wholeheartedly, without worry about the outcome. Trust instead that God will do what he knows is good and right, what he ordains is always good. You simply have to worry about you and those God has placed in your life. And that is truly plenty. Jesus definitely gives his followers, his people, much to work on as his people in this world. He knows that you and I, though, will never get these things perfectly right. You're going to fail to love your enemies. You think unwholesome thoughts. You yearn for vengeance to fall on your foes. You worry yourself frantic over things that you cannot control and those that you can. You and I fail greatly, sin abundantly. But thanks be to God that he outperforms our failure. He gives more greatly than we lack. He forgives more abundantly than we sin. For Jesus, the speaker of this Sermon on the Mount, is the perfect picture of all of those teachings. He is the only man who could ever keep all of his teachings holy and perfectly. He alone is perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And Jesus alone, then, is our Savior from sin, death, and our own sinful flesh. He offered up that life, his perfection for us, for ours, our lives on the cross. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of all of your sins. For Jesus is the innocent lamb that was slain, so that you and I could become the people of God. God gave the Torah to the Israelites to show them what it looks like to be God's people. Jesus gave his followers the Sermon on the Mount to show mankind what being a Christian in this world looks like. Both of these great gifts of God's law serve as blueprints for what we will be like forever. As members of his kingdom, which you belong to even now, we will live out all of the requirements of God's law perfectly, without fail, even as Jesus did here in his earthly life. And so you rest assured, knowing your future is secure in Christ. For you will live with him forever, even as you live with him now. For Christ's suffering and his death on the cross paid that price for you. His resurrection gives you that eternal life. Baptism has sealed you in that life, and the Lord's Supper has strengthened you in that life. And that life is yours, not littly, but abundantly. Abundantly in Jesus, the one true God, who provides for you richly by his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ abundantly to life everlasting.